This is Josh.
And this is Michelle. And this is Little Bandology, episode 7.
All right. See, I did it. People didn't think I would.
He let me do the intro. It's been a long time, so.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. We've had a lot going on since our last episode.
It's been crazy busy.
It has, well, not only that, we've had sickness run rampant through the family.
Oh my goodness. So much respiratory illness in our house over the last month.
Pneumonia, you name it. It's been through the house.
It's been a rough time.
It has. But we're all healthy, and we are finally here in Chicago.
Yay.
At Midwest Clinic Convention.
It's our first time to be here.
For the convention. We've been to Chicago
before. Right. Well, yeah, it's our first time for Midwest.
And it has been an amazing experience. We had our clinic yesterday.
Yes, it was so overwhelming how many people were there. I mean, for me anyway.
It was a lot of people.
It was crazy. We were shocked to see so many people wanted to hear what we had to say.
And it was met with a wonderful response.
Yes, a lot of positive reviews from people we know, but also people we had never met before. No. So that was cool.
We got to meet some fantastic people from all over. But before we gave our clinic, we went to another small school clinic from the National Association for Music Education.
Right. It was interesting for us to go to that just to kind of see how what we were saying in our clinic lined up against what other people were saying from small schools.
And it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was interactive. We got to,
which Josh, you know, he makes friends with everyone.
I do. I've made
lots
of friends.
So he was cool with the interactive part. It's a little harder for me.
She just kind of
more introverted than he is.
But I got to meet the band director from Santa Claus,
Indiana.
That was cool.
He has to wait until the theme park closes.
Holiday Land.
The school has to wait for the theme park to go to weekends only for the season before they can start school, because so many students work in the theme parks. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. That is insane. We did our presentation. We got to see a very good friend of ours. Corey Graves he's from the same town I'm from.
We grew up
just not too far away from each other.
And he's on the board for Midwest.
He is. And we saw him walk through the door to introduce our clinic, and it was awesome.
Yeah, very exciting to see somebody that we knew and, you know, had a relationship with. And
amazing educator, just amazing person.
Yes.
And we were very, very honored for him to introduce us. But
absolutely,
it was good. They laughed at all my silly jokes.
Yeah, Sutton's one review was, well, they liked your dad jokes.
Yep. And all three kids got to sit through it. Of course, we've done this clinic. This is the fourth time.
Well, I mean, the third time.
UT Tyler. We did it
for UT Tyler. We did it for UT Tyler before we went to TMEA.
And we got an invitation to do it for
TBA next summer.
The Texas Bandmasters Association in San Antonio over the summer. So we're trying to figure out in our schedules if that will work. We're hoping it does.
It would be really cool.
We love to talk about small school band. Which leads us to, for this episode, we'd figure this is sort of a hot button thing for small schools. And we didn't realize it until we got here, really. Because we kind of, if you're in a small school, sometimes you stay in your little bubble.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that I took away from the first clinic that we went to was the number of small schools, like this percentage of schools in the United States that are considered small. And it's way more than big schools, y'all. I mean, I was shocked. And we all kind of have the same issues. We all have the same things that we have to worry about for our small school programs. And I think that was also eye-opening. We're not on an island.
No.
Even though it feels that way.
Well, and they said, I think the statistic was the average size of a school is only 593 students.
Right.
Like in the nation.
Right, yeah. Because there are so many small schools that it brings that number way down.
Yeah, it skews the curve, I guess is what he said.
The bell curve.
But that was very eye-opening. And so today, we wanted to talk about advocacy, because that being a cheerleader for your program can sometimes be the hardest job, I think.
Right. Well, because so many of us are in those smaller towns that people just don't really know what it is that we do Mm-mm. in the band hall.
I always call it, they're not in the room where it happened. And so they have no clue what you do or how you do it or if you're any good at it. They only get what they see in the public eye. And a lot of times that's just marching band. Right? I mean, or parades.
Yeah.
Like we do one parade a year, and it is the Beckville Christmas Parade. And if you judge just based on what you see there, you would think we were not very big at all.
Right.
Because we have cheerleaders and FFA members and...
this year we had the homecoming queen.
We did.
So she wasn't...
She rode in a Jeep.
But yeah, the majority of our kids are doing something else, so they're doing something else in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the size of the band, you think that there's, you know, very few kids that are involved. But it's not. That's not the case at all.
No,
it's just what it is for the parade.
Yeah. We were just sort of going to talk about some ideas to get sort of you out of your comfort zone and praising your program. Because that's what you have to do. You have to be your own cheerleader.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a school where you're the only one of you.
It's not a bad thing for you to brag on your kids. Like, it's a good thing, and you should. You should be bragging on your kids as often as you can.
Yes, of course. And there's several different ways you can do that. The easiest is really social media. If you brag on your kids, and there are great examples of this all over, and you probably have some friends on Facebook or Instagram that just constantly post about their band kids to the point it might becoming a little annoying, or it's all you see. Well, those people are being cheerleaders for their program, and it's not a bad thing. They're just bragging on their kids.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like, within each community, I think that's important. Like, if you feel like they're overposting, well, that may be what they need for their community to really see and appreciate what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, because most people are on some form of social media. Except for our superintendent.
Right, who thinks Facebook is the devil.
Yes, he thinks Facebook is the devil and doesn't know about Instagram, or I call it ChapSnat, or any of that other stuff.
Right.
And so
he really doesn't like our school having a social media presence at all.
No. Like with our school, most schools will have a Facebook group or page or an account where they just post school information. We don't have that.
Nope. Go to the school website.
Putting your information out there on a regular basis is not a bad thing.
Right. Well, and parents, they love to see their kids. And I mean, just watch the shares go up on those posts.
Yes.
Because the parents are excited about what their kids are doing. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't fully understand it, they see their kids succeeding and they want to share that.
Because they're proud of their child.
Right.
Just like you are proud of their child. Another way that you can approach it is just mark your territory.
And it doesn't sound as gross
as I make it out to be.
Right.
No. So we came up, and I've done this in a couple of schools, with a band logo. In Beckville, we have the Beckville Bee. And it's blue, and it's got these bearcat claws. I assume that's what they are.
I think that's what they're meant to be, at any least.
And I decided I wanted to riff off of that. And so our logo for the band actually has a uniform on, and like we're a military band, it's got cross belts, the whole nine yards, very, as they say in East Texas, the West Point style uniform. We put that everywhere. We have stickers, we need to get car decals, but it's every post, every graphic we create in Canva. And if you're not using Canva, the educator account, to brag on your kids,
yeah, for
you
sure.
should
get it.
Oh my goodness.
It makes graphic design so easy.
Oh, my goodness. And it has an AI feature that creates very interesting sort of presentations of different things that's fun to play with. But it goes on everything. And I tell this story in our clinic every time we do it. I love this story. We went to a playoff game right after we created our logo. And instead of using the official school logo for the Jumbotron, they used our band logo, and the band kids thought it was the best thing ever. Like, they were cheering every time they'd show the logo. Not everybody enjoyed it as much as we did, but we loved it. We thought it was great. But that's a great way, too. People see that. They associate it with your program. One less thing you have to worry about.
Just keeps you out there. You know, they see it and they think, oh, our band, we have a great band. And so it's a good thing.
Well, because a lot of times, in especially small communities, it's, you know, we have a band. We just don't know anything about it. And so you've got to be the one to tell your story. Who better to tell the story than the person who's running the program? That way you control what's being said from the source. Something else, invite people. Now, they may not come, but invite your board members to a band rehearsal. Invite your administrators.
We make a graphic for every single performance that we do.
Oh, yes.
And that graphic gets emailed out to everybody. And like usually with a little personal note, hey, we hope you can come, look forward to seeing you there, something like that. Just so that they know it's happening and they know that we care that they're there, that they come to that event.
Yes. And we always thank them at the bottom for the support of our program.
Yes, always.
And we know not everybody is 100% supporter. But especially if you're emailing it out to faculty, they have all those kids in class. Most schools, I say most because I can't guess that there would be any that wouldn't, but most schools encourage teachers to go to school events.
Right.
And it's very easy for a teacher to go to an event with a ball attached to it because there's a million of them. Like we have two basketball games a week. Two volleyball games a week.
Right, but that's just high school. There's also junior high. I mean, we're playing basketball every day except for Wednesday in Beckville. So.
This is true. But when you have a band concert, that's a one-time deal. You don't do that same program three nights in a row. I can't imagine that would be very fun anyway. Get that communication out to those teachers, to your community, and try to get them there. Something that we do is we do some in-school performances.
Right.
And this is mostly so we don't have to compete with outside.
Yeah, it's out of necessity. It's really difficult much of the year for us to schedule a performance that isn't going to have to be missed by somebody because our kids do everything.
Yes, and they do a lot of everything. And so we do, like in the fall, we did a 7th grade band concert, and it was during their class period. We recorded it.
So anybody who couldn't come, they could still see the concert.
Yes. And we had, 50, 60 parents there?
We were shocked at how many people showed up. It was our first time to do a middle school concert during the school day.
Yes.
But again, it was out of necessity. If we didn't, it just wasn't going to happen. But we wanted to showcase what those kids had been working on because they had been working really, really hard. And we were super impressed with what they had accomplished in such a short amount of time. We wanted to show off.
Yeah. And we did. And the parents loved it. The kids loved it, having an audience. Something else we do in Beckville is we do a 6th grade recital, not a concert, for our beginners in the fall. And we call it a holiday recital, even though, you know, like some of the lines they play are...
Well, I would say most of the lines they play are not holiday themed. Related.
We play Jingle Bells at the end, and so that sort of gets the holiday part. But every student picks a line out of the beginner book or one of the two beginner books that we use. They prepare that line with, I would say, minimal help.
Right. I mean, we help a little bit. We may have worked on it in class at some point. Sometimes we have kids who go above and beyond and learn something we've never worked on in class, but generally they work up those lines on their own.
We even allow students to do small ensembles, so, you know, duets, trios, things like that, and they prepare those during the class period. We don't work with those students separately. And so now we do listen to them before we do the recital.
Right.
We do a practice recital so they get used to where they sit.
Just to make sure that they're at least on the right track.
Because there's nothing more embarrassing to a student. It didn't really bother us so much. But to a student is to not be prepared to the point where that stress hits you and all of a sudden you can't tell what you're playing. And it happens.
We want it to be a good experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Everybody claps for each other.
Yes.
Afterwards. But we do it during their band period. And we invite, we put it out, we have the, we use Remind, the app Remind. And so it's a texting app. We send that out to all the parents. We post it on our band Facebook page. We send home a note, the old fashioned note that never gets home.
Right. But we still do it because there are still some parents that prefer that.
They, mm-hmm. Then we do the recitals, and they're about, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, they're not very long.
At the most. And we had just about every child had a family or friend representative at those recitals.
In every class.
Mm-hmm. And it was great. The parents loved it. The kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the best time.
Yeah, I think it was a great experience for everybody.
And that's something we've done for the last...
Well, we did it when the boys were in sixth grade, so... I think that was the first one that we did. Was when they were in first grade. First grade.
Yeah, we started them early in Beckville.
Wow. Sixth grade. I think that was our first recital.
Yeah. And that's usually all the kids, you know, first chance to play in front of an audience. We do have some kids that will play for family members and things like that. That was the first time they play for a big group. And everybody gets clapped for at the end of it. I mean, it's just a great experience. And it's part of our advocacy. We sort of put it out there for the community. They show up. And we have former grandparents that were on the school board back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Our community members with, and I guess Beckville has a mayor.
Right.
We do. And she's actually a kindergarten teacher.
I believe she's a kindergarten
teacher. Yeah, our mayor is a kindergarten teacher. And the interconnections in the community to the school. The school is the community, which is how most small school bands are, I think.
Right. I mean, there's not a lot of business in Beckville. There are a few things, but the school is the main
source.
Is the main thing in the city of Beckville.
Yes. Source of everything. Entertainment.
Right.
Education. All the things. That's a big part of our advocacy, because if people in the community are talking about, oh, man, they did this recital and my son played Doodle All Day. And did so good on that. And you know what? It was just great. We really are proud of those kids. And man, these band directors too, they do such a good job with these kids. And it makes a difference. That little bit of word of mouth makes a huge difference. And you'll see that on your social media posts too. People will say, thank you for what you do for our students. Or they will say, man, I just really, really loved what the band did here. Something else too is your marching band is a great advocacy tool. If you have a marching band, if you don't have a marching band, there are other ways that you can do that. You may be a parade band and do lots of parades and things like that. But if you have a marching band, that's a great way to get people to look at your program and include more than just your students. If you're including parents, moving things, if you have lots of props or things like that, we have pit equipment that we move for our band, and we have parents helping with that.
We do, but we also include the younger kids to try to get them excited about being.
And if it's a home game, any child that of any age, really.
Right.
What was the youngest we had this year helping?
I think he's in second or third grade. Yeah.
And
he was so excited.
He was. He wanted a picture with every single instrument. He held it, and Michelle would take a picture, and his mom works at the school, and we would send it to his mom.
Yes, he would say, please make sure you send that to my mom. Say, of course, I will.
Yes, we'll be more than happy to do that for you.
He's very excited.
Little former drum major you.
Future.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like we're both really tired because we just finished lunch.
I think so. Yeah, we had some amazing sushi and ramen for lunch.
Yeah.
Here in Chicago. It was fantastic. Just a short jaunt from our hotel. Getting back to advocacy, the more you can get people talking, the better. We heard an idea in a clinic yesterday. They were talking about doing...
getting parents involved.
Parents involved and doing like bucket drumming
with
your parents.
Like a trash can band is what they called it.
And I was like, that's brilliant.
That was really, yeah.
Like, I'm so stealing that idea.
Yeah, that's something that parents can easily do. And you know.
Even if they're not musical.
Right, right.
Or they've never been
in a band. We could set them up in the stands at a football game, and they could play during third quarter
figure
out like a little duet with the drum line and the trash can band.
Yeah. Or even do it at spring concert.
Oh, that would be cool.
Throw some, you know, hey, parents, calling all parents that would be willing to do this. Here's our rehearsal schedule and have like, you know, two or three rehearsals.
Yeah, honestly, if we can teach elementary kids to do this, we can teach the parents to do it. It's something that they would be able to do.
And their kids would just absolutely eat it up.
Absolutely. They'd probably be a little embarrassed, but.
Our kids would be a little embarrassed. And we embarrassed them a lot with our clinic because we ragged on them the whole time. There's just the opportunities for advocacy for your program are really endless. Anything that you do that is going to bring attention to what your kids are doing and the job that you are doing is a good thing. And sometimes getting other people to talk about your program is a great way to do that. Get people to come in and listen to your group or to help you. This is where mentors can be a big help too. If people are talking about your band, it's getting that information gets around and that looks good on your band.
Right.
Michelle's falling asleep.
Not falling asleep.
Her head's nodding back and forth.
I'm not. I'm just very distracted by what's going on outside the window. I mean, there's not really a lot going on out there, but it's just, I get distracted very easily.
Oh, I do too. It happens to the best of us. They've been anticipation of snow in Chicago.
And I think that's it. Like, I'm anxiously watching for the snow to start.
Yeah. Sutton has, like, that was the only thing she wanted in this entire trip was snow. We're like, okay, but not so much snow that we can't get on the train to get home.
Right, we don't want to be stuck here.
We do not want to spend Christmas in the Union Station at Chicago. That would not be fun. It's a very chaotic place.
And it's not, I mean, it's supposed to snow, but I don't think it's supposed to be too much.
No, I don't think so either. Luckily, we'll be able to get home after all of this.
Yay.
Yeah. This is kind of a short episode. If you have ideas regarding advocacy for your program, ways that you can get community involvement, don't hesitate to send them to us. We do community performances are a great way for advocacy too.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to create those opportunities for yourself.
You know, nursing homes, other
right.
elementary schools like our
and
elementary school.
It doesn't
school,
have to be your whole band.
No.
Either. I think that's important. Like you can take small groups of kids to perform outside of the school and help get your name out there more as well.
One thing that we used to do, and I haven't done it while I've been in Beckville because there's really not a place to, you know, the bell ringers during the Christmas time.
Oh,
get
right.
Get your kids to
yeah.
ring the bell, but have them play. So we used to do tuba Christmas songs. We would get a quartet together and I would play with them. And we would go and sit outside of Walmart in Henderson. And we would play for, you know, about an hour. And we would play, you know, all the stuff in the book that the kids could handle. And people love that.
Yeah. That's a great, Christmas is a great time.
Yes.
To get your kids out there playing and performing for people. It's a little, I mean, that's just the easiest time of year.
Really. It really is. Something else you can do in regards to that is getting kids to play in their churches. If you have a very church-going community.
Yes.
Sixth grade all the way up. I started playing in church when I was in sixth grade. I didn't play much, but what I did play, everybody,
something.
Little old ladies love that stuff.
Right.
It makes the kids feel like they're superstars for in their church community. And it also gets, man, we had this little boy and he was in this band and he played a song for us and it was really nice and we really appreciated it.
And the church is, that's going to be one of the most positive performance experiences for kids because everybody is going to just ooh and aah over it. And what I mean, no matter how well they play, they're still just gonna be in love with it. And so, mm-hmm. I think it's a great place.
And encourage parents to, if you cannot make their performance, which, believe me, I am the first one to tell you, that's your off time. And band directors don't get a lot of off time. So if you can't make their performance, encourage the parents to record it, and send it to you so you can watch it, and that way you can brag on that kid and do it in front of other kids.
Right.
Like say, man, you did a good job of playing for your church this past Sunday. I really enjoyed your version of Amazing Grace. And then go on with your rehearsal.
And nothing is more motivating than an attaboy. So that will encourage
positive reinforcement is the thing.
To also.
Positive reinforcement. If you have any interesting ideas for advocacy for your group, put them on our, email them to us or put them on our Facebook page. But just let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We're always looking for new things, too. And so,
yeah, if you have an interesting idea, whether or not you've even tried it, let us share it with the public for you. Because with small school, we're a part of in a very large group.
If we've learned anything, much larger group than I realized. Yes,
so large. And look into the National Association for Music Education Small School Initiative.
Right.
They have resources, free
they
resources.
They do town halls and stuff, which we're excited to participate in one of those.
Yeah, we can't wait for that. Because anything we can do to help anybody else in situation or to be helped in our own situation.
Yes.
In small school, it's all about doing more with less. And so any way that we can offer help in that respect or receive help in that respect, we are always grateful and honored to do so.
Yep.
So that makes it. Thank you for listening. And be sure to tune in to episode number 8.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Little Bandology. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at Little Bandology or email us at littlebandology@gmail.com.